And we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of love. Amen. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony for worship on this Palm Sunday. It's good to see each of you here today in the sanctuary, and we welcome everyone who joins us online, wherever you might be, and whenever you might experience this service, we feel your presence with us and send our love back to you. Just a few announcements, and again, joined by Tracy, thank you for sharing with our community what's happening in the life this week, Holy Week.
Yes, thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony on this auspicious day, the beginning of Holy Week. So many gifts to be offered this week. I hope that you will fully participate. Thank you for taking time to worship with us today. So, as we start Holy Week, we will have a number of special services this week, Monday through Thursday evening at 7 p.m., and then Friday at noon we'll have special services. Most of these you can participate in online, but I would encourage you to go to the website. There is a new website. Please check that out. If you look under the Events tab of the website, you'll see a tile. The first tile you see below there has all the services listed there for this week. The first service that we have will be Monday evening. It's a Lectio Divina service here in person, and then Tuesday we'll have the Gurdjieff movements. The Gurdjieff music, which is a very special service that I encourage you to participate in. We also have an Easter prayer vigil. Starting this week, we'll have a dual track, so there'll be one track for in-person and one track for online. So to participate in person, there's a sign-up board outside on the other side of the bridge, and you can pencil in your name for whatever time slot you wish for, and you will attend in Theosis Chapel and participate in your time slot in prayer and centering prayer at that time. Online, you can sign up online under that same events tab. And for a particular time slot, and then there's a prayer Zoom room that you'll join and attend at your appointed hour. So encourage you to do that. That prayer vigil will be running from 1 o'clock on Friday until 8 a.m. Sunday morning. And to close our Holy Week, we have a half-day centering prayer retreat on this Saturday, led by Marianne Best, 9 to noon, offered both in person and online. So Holy Saturday, also known as Low Saturday, a time to be silent, a time to remember, a time to rest and prepare for the energies of Easter. And then we are continuing to offer our Lenten centering prayer in person offering in Theosis Chapel at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday morning. So that will be continuing this week if you wish to attend. So thank you. I think that's all the announcements I have for today.
Thank you very much. And we are not doing a sunrise service this year, as we have in the past, but our normal 8 a.m. Lectio and 9 a.m. brunch will occur. But I wanted to just send a special invitation to you all. It's been our custom to invite everyone or everyone wishes to attend the 9 a.m. brunch in the fellowship hall to bring a dish to share. And that way our Seva team doesn't have to do as much on Easter Sunday because typically there are more people on Easter Sunday. But if you're so inclined, bring a dish to share, a breakfast dish to share, and then we'll gather and enjoy the 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall. And then normal service at 10 a.m. But there will not be coffee fellowship following that service, so you can all go back and be with your families for Easter. Everything you need to know about the service is in your bulletin, especially if you're visiting or new today. We sing chants and encourage everyone to join along, and it's no shame in looking at the bulletin and finding out what the lyrics are. You'll quickly pick them up, but please take one hand if you're holding the other hand of someone else and just follow along and encourage everyone to join in with this in song and chant. Let's take a moment on this Palm Sunday. We've been on a Lenten journey. What brings you here today? What is occurring in your life? Where does the grace of God require your response? And invite you to take a moment to wish for that today. We consent to your presence and action in each of our lives through this service and on this planet. Amen.
I invite you to invoke the Holy Spirit with our first chant, Holy Spirit, come. Please stand and join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Love. Join me in listening for God's word. Our reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 26, the New American Standard Version. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.' The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, 'Surely it is not I, Lord.' He said in reply, 'He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born.' Then Judas's betrayer said in reply, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' He answered, 'You have said so.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples said, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father.' Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee.' Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me." He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, "Abba, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again, "Abba, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking, your will be done." Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
On some Palm Sundays, a different scripture reading is read. And depending on the year, sometimes this scripture reading that Mary Leah just read is provided for. I like this particular reading on Palm Sunday because it helps us see the bigger picture, and that for many of us growing up in a church, probably Palm Sunday was a time of bringing in these palms and waving them and singing Hosanna and Jesus riding on a donkey and laying coats down in front of the donkey, and it was a celebratory type of a Sunday. But in recent decades, many liturgical communities have chosen to remember the Passion Sunday, not just the Palm Sunday, but the Passion Sunday, which is what the scripture was indicating and pointing to, that Jesus is about to give up his life, and the Passion is the surrender of his life more and more to God for the sake of his beloved friends, his community, his spiritual friends, and his bigger vision for his life and his world and his understanding of his own mission on this planet. And to be in the mind of Jesus, you know, it'd be interesting to be in the mind of Jesus and understand what his self-understanding was. What was it like to be Jesus? And some people thought he was crazy to talk about his mission with the Father and that he was going back to the Father and he had to do this. And whatever you make of that, it's in the domain of faith. But I suggest to you that there is profundity in these passages that speaks to the nature of humankind and our origins and our destiny and our possibilities. I'm not going to go much more into that passage other than to focus on what we've been doing this Lent, is using the scriptures as we approach a question: how can I wholly remember? Lord, help me remember when. And if you recall, just by way of review, we began the series with Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus enters into the wilderness and is hungry for 40 days, basically fasting. And so we began this series, Lord, help me remember when I'm tired, when I'm exhausted. And then we went to, Lord, help me remember when I'm feeling at my best, symbolized by the story of the Transfiguration Mountain with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and seeing the glory of the Lord. Literally, a mountaintop experience. Lord, help me remember when everything's going great. Then we looked at this beautiful passage of John chapter 4, the woman at the well, and Jesus is exhausted as well, perhaps even feeling quite down and depressed and discouraged. Lord, help me remember when I'm at my worst. And then we looked at the story of the blind man. Lord, help me remember when I'm feeling lost and can't see my way forward. And then we looked last week at this beautiful, powerful story of Lazarus being raised and Jesus grieving his death in John chapter 11. Lord, help me when I'm feeling sick and dying. And all of these are human experiences that we have, and they're moments to wholly remember. There are moments to self-remember. And I think we've gained some insights. I hope that's the wish as we've pondered these. Now, not everyone is at one of these spots in life, but in a group like this, probably some of us are at one or two of these places or have been recently or are about to be at these places. So hopefully there's some help or wisdom there for us on the journey. And today we conclude our Lenten series, Lord Help Me Remember, when I feel overwhelmed and it's all up to me. Lord help me remember when I feel overwhelmed and it's all up to me. I think that's the job description of every mother. I have observed that mothers feel this way a lot, and there's a great deal of overwhelm on mothers in our culture, as I have observed it. Probably there's a lot of overwhelm on fathers too, just in a different way. But how many of you feel like it's up to you in your life? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but... I mean, all of us probably feel overwhelmed from time to time, I would assume. And whatever is occurring in your personal life, perhaps this is a time of ease and blessedness and peacefulness, and you don't feel overwhelmed. But perhaps there have been seasons where you have felt overwhelmed. Well, if that's the case and you're in that season, I hope this is a good word for you. And all of us could share stories about feeling overwhelmed and all these things. And so before I go on, I just wanted to give an invitation that next Sunday, I invite you to a community sharing here in this room, for those of you who are able to be here, on Easter Sunday, to share how you've been learning and growing through this season of Lent along these lines. How has your holy remembering been? Perhaps one of these things has been occurring for you in this season of Lent, and I encourage us to edify one another by being prepared to succinctly, briefly share what's been a blessing to you and how you've been journeying through this Lent, what the fruit of your Lenten journey has been. And mine comes down to a question, you know, I shared recently with you all. That was the fruit of my Lent. And then another thing has unfolded recently too. But it's been a very fruitful Lent. And so Easter Sunday is a time to celebrate the fruitfulness of life and the spiritual life in each of our lives. So I just wanted to put that out there as an invitation to you to share and to bless the community. Please be prepared for that and to be brief as well. Be focused in what you want to say. And so I'm giving you a week's notice, and I think that's respectful. And of course, the Spirit always works spontaneously too. So, and then the following week, since I'm giving this invitation on the 9th, so two Sundays from today, we'll have our community sharing on this book, Bittersweet by Susan Cain. So if you have not looked at this book, I encourage you to get a hold of it and look at it. You can get it at your library. Oprah heard we were doing this as our book reading, and so she copied us. So I was told. We will close that circle of reading, and then we'll begin a new community reading for a period of 4 months. So we'll have 2 weeks of community sharing, and I pray that it is a blessing. So as I listened and pondered and read and did Lexio Divina on that scripture that we just heard, here are a couple things that spoke to me. The first thing to do when we're feeling overwhelmed and that it's all up to us, perhaps, is to gather with your friends over a meal with wine and sing a song. That's what Jesus did. He gathered with his friends, he broke the bread with the meal, he drank the wine, and they sang a song. Good, universal, long-standing practices that make all hearts merry. To be with your loved ones, your friends, to eat a good meal, to drink wine and toast to one another, even to get rid of the black sheep of the family who might show up and feel comfortable, then leaves. Then everyone can go back to having a good time. But you can't say you didn't invite him. But Judas had a very important role to play, and that's something we can't get into so much today. But it just is such a beautiful reminder that standing in our midst is always the broken person who really doesn't know how to manage their wound and acts out inappropriately. And they're welcome. The broken person is always welcome and must live within the boundaries of the community. And when they don't live within the boundaries of the community, they often leave. And that is the nature of healthy family systems and spiritual communities. Everyone is welcome. Anyone is welcome. And there are boundaries of how we behave with one another as a family and a spiritual community. And so Judas represents someone who played a significant part in the story. In fact, the story probably couldn't have unfolded in the way it did without Judas. And the work tradition and some of its writers, particularly Maurice Nickel, elevates Judas to a very high, important role. And something I had never seen before was that respect and reverence for Judas. And so if you're interested in exploring that more, you can see the quote on the bulletin, and you can see the reference from where that quote comes from, and you can find that book and explore that yourself. So the first thing perhaps to do when we're feeling overwhelmed and that it's all up to us is to get with people that love you and to have a meal and to have a glass of wine and to sing together. This falls under the category of what the Christian church calls fellowship, or what we up in Wisconsin call a potluck. Or what I know my brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic community called a Friday fish fry. It's a very simple thing, it's a very human thing, a very down-to-earth thing to approach our overwhelm by getting with our beloveds and eating a simple meal and drinking and singing. Now, obviously, this was a very special kind of meal. This wasn't exactly the Passover. It was Jesus' Last Supper transforming the Passover, and it was his farewell meal for his friends. And that, of course, was part of his own overwhelm, was knowing that his life was coming to an end and that he was going to be saying goodbye to his friends and even forsaken by his friends. So his overwhelm was all the more poignant in the midst of the celebration. It was literally, as Susan Cain calls it, bitter sweet, which is probably one of the most memorable emotions we can have, is the feeling of bittersweetness. So the second thing to do, perhaps, when we feel overwhelmed, and Jesus models this, and I just kind of elevate it for our own practical purposes, but go to a place where there's trees. Go to a place where there's trees, where you can be alone with the trees. Jesus and his friends finish up the dinner, they sing their song, and they go out into the night, walking down the Kidron Valley from the city of Jerusalem, which is a significant decline, about 1,500 feet in lost elevation, down to the lower part of the Kidron Valley. It's a beautiful place. You can go there to this day. And there was an ancient olive grove there of large olive trees. They were all cut down in the year AD 60 under one of the Roman generals' military campaign. So the trees that are there today are almost 2,000 years old, and they are not the exact ones Jesus prayed in or by, but they're like them. But the point is that Jesus went to a place where there were trees. And trees have a ministry to us, as I have experienced in my own life. I take great comfort in going to forests and any place where there are trees. And even cedar trees, you know, God loves cedar trees. even cedar trees, as long as they're not too bushy, you know. But trees have a ministry for human beings. And we all have heard of some of the more popular literature these days about trees. And if you haven't, go check it out, because it really shows us that trees are living beings and they have a lot to offer us. And they lower our blood pressure and they reduce our risk of cancer. Taking a walk in the forest, it's famously called forest bathing. It's a really important aspect to our spiritual journeys of grounding ourselves. And I'm not making this up. Jesus went to the olive grove, the biggest trees in the valley, and took refuge there and prayed there. He didn't go to the temple, is my point. He didn't go to a building made by hands of men and women. He went to the trees made by God. And very symbolic also, hearkening back for good reason to the Garden of Eden and the trees that were there. And that is a huge subject, allegorically, spiritually, to go into, which we can't. But I just simply say that if you're feeling overwhelmed and that it's all up to you, go to Reimer's Ranch, go to Commerce Ford, go to McKinney Ruffs, go find the beautiful trees at McKinney Ruffs and be blessed and ministered to by the silent presence of trees. The third thing is to then verbalize, perhaps in the forest, fall on your knees, and verbalize and embody your emotional distress. And this is very important. We learned this last year in the Journey School about the importance of shaking after a traumatic event or when filled with stress. I had a meeting with someone, and after they stormed off, I just did this. Just get this energy off of me. And shaking. And apparently all animals, after some sort of stressful flight moment or fight moment, do this. They shake. And so embodying and verbalizing our distress at an emotional level is super important to do when we feel this overwhelm, so we don't blow and throw a bomb with our words. And Jesus comes close to throwing a bomb with his words. You know, why can't you stay awake with me? You know, I probably would have added a few explicatives. But, you know, you are good for nothing. And, you know, you've been with me for 3 years and you can't, this sort of thing, that a negative emotion kicks in. And so, but shaking, getting the energy, processing the energy verbally and also through our bodies can oftentimes prevent the bomb-throwing verbal tirades that we go on when we feel overwhelmed and at the edge of our being. Especially if the energy of the forest and the earth can absorb it. Now, Jesus was so distressed that we famously remember him sweating blood. And this is actually apparently a medical phenomenon, an accurate medical phenomenon, people who are under extraordinary distress, that they sweat blood. But the point is that it was being released from his body. Now, so the body has ways of releasing that stress and that toxicity. And who knows what level of intensity it takes to literally release blood through the capillaries that you normally sweat through. But it is interesting that the body knows best, and the body knows how to release stress in an amazing way, and to not get in the way of that. One of the ways we get in the way of the body being naturally a place of releasing is that we numb the body. We numb the body. Now, I know that numbing the body is a very fast, quick solution to really not having to feel or process the energy rising up through the body. But Jesus apparently didn't drink too much because he didn't numb his body. And it's so easy to numb our body with drink and other things. So even just watching movies is a way of numbing the body and not actually feeling anything. So verbalize and embody this energy, move it out. How does he verbalize it? How does he verbalize his overwhelm, his feeling of overwhelm? He prays, and he prays a very specific prayer. Father, if there's any other way, you know, he actually verbalizes, I'd like a different outcome here. I'd like to be in a different place, but thy will be done. And that's a beautiful reminder for all of us to use that phrase to process our overwhelm. If there be any other way, let it be revealed, show it to me, help me. But if not, give me the strength to bear through this. And then lastly, the simple truth is that And I think all of us have learned this at some level in life, otherwise we wouldn't be here, wouldn't be alive. And what to do with our feeling of overwhelm and that it's all up to us is to simply give up and give in and to let it be. And he gives in to the way in which the water is flowing for his destiny. He lets himself be arrested. He lets himself be taken up by the movement of energy that is Holy Week. And that's not despair, and that's not nihilism. It's just the rightful ordering of letting the will go to passivity and active consent to what's happening. And so that's not a winning motto for a lot of us, is to say just give in and give up to it, the thing that's overwhelming. But perhaps the way out is through, and that's what I mean by that. So there are at least four little things that I think I drew wisdom from this passage that can help me when I'm feeling overwhelmed, and that do help me when I'm feeling overwhelmed, that it's all up to me. To gather with friends and loved ones, to eat a good meal, to drink a glass of wine, to sing a song or two, to go to a place where there's trees and go into that forest and be with the silence and solitude, to verbalize and embody that energy and stress so that it moves out of my system and I don't hold on to it. And then, in rightful divine order, when the time is right, when all has been done and said, to simply give in to what is occurring and let it be without resistance. I'd like to conclude our time today with a story that comes from an ancient tradition in the Sufi domain of spirituality. Sufis give us so much wisdom, and Rumi's poetry is so extraordinary, as Hafiz's is as well. But here's a beautiful story, and I'll just let it minister to you and speak to you wherever you might be in your feeling of overwhelm in your life. Time before time, high in the mountain, a gentle rain began to fall. At first it was hushed and quiet, trickling down the granite slopes. Gradually the rain increased in strength and the rivulets filled, running over the rocks and down the gnarled and twisted trees that grew there. Soon it was pouring as swift currents of dark water flowed together into the beginnings of a stream. The stream made its way down the mountainside, through valleys, past forests, down cascading waterfalls. Before long, it found itself far from its source in the high mountains. At the edge of a great and vast desert, having crossed every other barrier in its way, the stream was convinced that it could cross this desert as well. But as fast as it threw its waves into the desert, that fast were its waters absorbed by the sand. Overwhelmed was the water by the desert. After a while, the stream heard the whispering voice of the desert saying, "The wind crosses the desert, so can the stream." "Yes, but the wind can fly," cried out the stream, continuing its dash to dash its waves into the desert sand. "You'll never get across that way," said the desert. "You, water, have to let the wind carry you." "But how?" cried the stream. "You have to let the wind absorb you." The stream couldn't accept that. Having never been absorbed before, so far as it knew, it didn't want to give up its unique individuality, its own identity, its mission, its purposes. After all, if it gave itself to the winds, could it ever be guaranteed of becoming a stream again? The desert spoke once more, saying that if the stream were to continue to flow into the desert waste like it is doing now, it might eventually, in time, produce a swamp there at the desert's edge. But the swamp would never cross the desert so long as it remained a stream. "Why can't I remain the same stream that I am?" cried out the waters. "Why can't I just be me?" The desert answered ever so wisely, "You never can remain who you are. You either become a swamp or you give yourself to the winds. The stream was quiet for a long time, listening to certain echoes deep within itself, remembering parts of itself having been held in the arms of the wind before. Then the stream did something it had never done. It stopped resisting, gave in, let go, and yielded itself to the burning heat of the noonday sun. Slowly and gently, the stream raised its vapors into the welcoming arms of the wind. It was borne upward and over the desert in great white clouds, without any effort at all. The clouds were carried in the wind across the desert and over the mountains on its far side, where there they began to fall in gentle drops of rain again. At first, the rain was hushed and quiet, trickling down the granite slopes, but gradually it increased in strength as the rivulets ran over the rocks and down the gnarled and twisted trees that grew there. Soon it was pouring as swift currents of dark water flowed together into the beginnings of a stream once again. And the commentator says this: what is this mystery of transformation to which the desert invites us? How are we to participate in such a surrender? And may I suggest to you that this applies to each of our lives in our moments of overwhelm, whatever the desert is that might be coming up against you, that the transformation moment is a surrendering moment, and Jesus shows us that in Holy Week. It also applies to churches and to families and organizations, to nations, to keep letting the future call you, not to become a swamp, but to let the winds carry you to places you could never have imagined and begin again. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence. What is the Spirit, the wind, saying to you, and where does it wish to carry you in your feeling of overwhelm? Holy Spirit of God, flow into our lives and lift us up and carry us through this beautiful Holy Week, that we would encounter ourselves and your truths and indeed your very presence in new and deep and life-giving ways as never before. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Let us now rest in a silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit upon these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup. And again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
We come to feast on the light
Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see the love, see it all around. I can see the love. Saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
We bless and love the children. They are the future that carries us over the desert into the new beginning. And the stream will continue. Bless you, dear ones. And may each of us experience the most blessed Holy Week this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night here at the church, if you so choose, and Friday at noon. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you now and always. Amen.